And let us turn to Romans chapter 5 as our scripture reading. Romans chapter 5, we'll be specifically looking at verses 6 through 11. We'll read the first 11 verses as our scripture reading as we consider Christ sacrificed in our place. So let us hear together Romans chapter 5, beginning reading at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. As we consider the sacrifice of our Savior, and as we consider it as Paul in Romans reflects on that sacrifice, the context he puts it in is the fact that we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. And he says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. We have hope in this world, which the world does not understand and does not know. And we as Christians have hope because of the death of our Savior. We have hope because Christ took in our place what we deserve. Jesus died, as it says, at just the right time. And so we have peace with God. The rest of the world is at enmity, is in war against God. We as Christians are at peace with God. And we can then rest and live and die, even as we just sang, in hope. It is safer for a Christian to die than it is for a Christian or for a person to walk away from the faith. And we have that confidence, we have that hope, not because we're worthy, not because of the strength and the tenacity of our faith, but because of the promise of God and the fact that this is accomplished, that this is a historical event, that Christ went to the cross and that Christ gave His life. So we have a hope that does not disappoint. And Christ died at just the right time to reconcile the ungodly to God. That's the theme that we want to see as we look at this passage of God's Word this morning. Christ died at just the right time to reconcile the ungodly to God. We have to consider our own hearts. We have to examine ourselves and realize that we are not easily those who spend our time thinking about the things of God. We think about so many other things. We would rather do ungodly things. We think that's more fun. And yet, Christ died perfectly at just the right time to reconcile the ungodly, us, to Himself. And so it was just at the right time. That's verses 6 and 7. Christ died for the ungodly. And in verses 9 through 11, we see that we are reconciled through Christ's death. We are saved by His life. So first of all, Christ died at just the right time for the ungodly, while we were still without strength. We have to understand that we can't save ourselves. No matter what people come up with, manners in which people come up with, well, you've got to be baptized, this, that, the other thing. You know, don't eat, don't drink, or don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. Even according to the law, people come up with and say, you can do this. God says no. Galatians 3:21, if there were a law by which salvation could become, salvation would be through the law. But there is no such law. So we think that we can be good enough. And we betray that to ourselves and to everyone by saying, well, I just have to work a little harder. What do you see in the Christian bookstore section? How to do this better? How to do that better? Brothers and sisters, we come on Good Friday because we can't do it good enough, no matter what. Our only hope is the Savior. We rely upon Him while we were still without strength. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses. Dead people don't get up and do stuff, do that, do they? We have to realize it. We can't do anything for ourselves. We are dead in our trespasses and sins without the work of God in us. And so, Jesus says, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. There are people who say, well, you've just got to believe. But God says, I can't even do that. That's a gift of God, Paul continues there in Ephesians 2. But God, while we were still without strength, at due time, at just the right time, God worked it out in history. In God's perfect timing. We talk about the ability of the gospel to spread because there was one language virtually throughout the known world. And so the gospel was, after Christ had risen and gone to heaven, spread all the way to India and all the way into England and south into Africa and north into Europe very quickly and powerfully. But there's so many things we want that we don't have. Guess what? At just the right time, in God's perfect timing. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. This was not an accident that we don't have pictures of Jesus taken with a Polaroid camera. Or so many other things that people come up with. No. We have God's revelation to us in what? Word. Because we need to listen to the Word of God, not come up with all these other ways in which we think we can make people believe. It is by the foolishness of the gospel preached that is the power of God. It is not multimedia and all these other things that man wants to do. We need the Word because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Hebrews chapter 1:1. And Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. Jesus said that, Matthew 9:12-13. When Jesus heard that, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ came in the mercy of God. Notice Jesus in the middle of these two things, and we want to delete that part. Learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Those who are well, yes, we get that. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We have to understand that that goes in between. Learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The Old Testament believers, or Old Testament Jews thought that they could get tit for tat every sin taken care of by the sacrifices. And we so easily think that I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can save myself. No. Christ died for the ungodly in God's mercy, in His undeserved favor. Not in a sacrifice whereby we say, okay, God, You owe me. I got this taken care of. But in His undeserved favor, and that is what we celebrate on Good Friday, is the undeserved favor of God. Jesus came to die for sinners. Not those who think that they're righteous. Those who know that they need mercy. And those who realize their only hope is in Christ. Now, Paul continues here. People usually don't die for others. He says, perhaps for a righteous man, one would even hope to dare to die. Now, we live virtually in a culture that won't cross the street for other people, let alone give their lives for them. He says, perhaps for a righteous man. Ironic, isn't it? The righteous man died for our sins. And yet God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing to recommend us to God, and Christ died for us in our place. Now I want to talk a little bit about Christ's death, because what does it mean that Christ died? Can God die? Well, we think of physical death, but this is not the only way in which the Bible talks about death. The Bible talks about the second death, the judgment of hell. Death is seen as separation from God. Man separates himself from God by sin, and death, actually physical death, is the natural result. But this is not the only way in which Jesus became subject to death. In fact, Jesus did not separate Himself from God by sin, since He had no personal sin. Death is not only the natural consequence of sin, it is the judicial consequence and punishment of sin. And God, we hear Jesus saying, is withdrawing His blessings from Him. He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Death for the unbeliever is God withdrawing His blessings of life and happiness from man and rewarding him with the wrath he deserves. And Jesus' death is the judicial aspect of death. Jesus received what we refer to as eternal death. But He was able to bear it in a short time instead of over that long period of time, because He could do that by His divine nature. And so as He agonized in the garden until He cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He suffered. And indeed, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, all of the time that He was on this earth. And so Jesus' physical death after His cry of "it is finished" is not His entering into hell. He had already gone through that on the cross and before. So Jesus' death is truly the Son of God dying. His spiritual nature is separated from His physical nature, just as any human being is. And He did experience death just as every Christian will, in that when He died, He did not go into hell. He went to be with the Father. Yes, his body was separated from his soul, just as yours and mine will be. So Christ experienced, Christ took death in both manners. The judicial nature of death, the fact that he took our penalty extensively, fully, wholly in our place. And yet at that same time, he died physically so that we would have life. We think of death as an end of existence, and that's a wrong view of death. By the way, no one dies in that manner. Every soul will continue, and everyone will have eternal life from a certain perspective. But those who do not believe on Christ will receive an eternal life of hell. Will rise from the dead to judgment. And Christ received that judgment in yours and my place. And so we are reconciled through Christ's death. We are raised. We are saved by his life. We are not just justified, we are saved from wrath through Christ. Paul says, more than that, not only are we declared justified, not only is it a judicial declaration, as though that might somehow be separated from the facts and events of future history. We are justified by his blood, by the shedding of his lifeblood. Yes, we need to realize that. How are we paid for? Think of going back in the Old Testament to Genesis when it talks about the lifeblood. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. For surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. From the hand of man and from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. We think of blood as just blood. God talks about it as being the life of that being. And so, we need to realize that we are justified by the shedding of Christ's blood. But more than that, we are saved from wrath through him. When we think of the judgment day, I think every one of us realizes, from a human perspective, that's a scary thought. We don't want to think about that. In fact, we have huge monuments built up to the fact that people want to live out one more day. It's called hospitals. They're a good thing from a certain perspective, but hanging on to life with all of our might is not something we as Christians have to do. Because we have a better place. And so we are saved from wrath. Instead of looking forward to the judgment day with fear and trembling, saying, yeah, I deserve it. Which every one of us, if we're truly honest with ourselves, if we're Christians, we're going to say that. No, we can look forward to that judgment day because of what Christ has done. We are saved from wrath. In fact, that's where this goes, isn't it? We are reconciled by Christ's death. We are saved by his life. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We have to realize that of ourselves, we are God's enemies. This is every human being after the fall, and every human being knows that in the back of their mind. And that's why so many people are afraid to die. When we were unable to do anything, Christ died for us. God reconciled us to himself. When we couldn't reconcile ourselves to God, God did. By the death of his Son, Jesus giving his life in our place. But much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now yes, this is Good Friday. And we talk about the death of Christ today. But the Bible doesn't always just put things into little nuggets like that. We are saved by his life. Christ took the fullness of death in our place Yet we must also follow this passage which tells us of the promise of Easter, that we are saved by the fact that Jesus rose. Jesus' resurrection guarantees our salvation. Now we are certain that we are saved by the fact that Jesus rose. There were a lot of people who were crucified around the time of Christ. Many of them wrongly so, parallel with Jesus. However, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, one among millions, only one rose. One of the most established facts in history demonstrates that Jesus' death was different from all the rest of those crucifixions. Jesus' death demonstrates that we are saved by His life. And we rejoice in God instead of being afraid of God, as we so easily human beings are, we have peace with God. We have hope in the day of judgment, and a hope that does not disappoint because of Jesus Christ, through whom we have been reconciled. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to that fear that we easily have. We rejoice in the God who has saved us, instead of spending our time in fear, in trembling. And so through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have received that reconciliation. And that's why we celebrate Good Friday. We celebrate Good Friday because we, through the death of our Savior, have hope. Christ, who appeared to be losing the battle, was winning. Death has been turned into victory for God's people. And we need to understand that Jesus took our death, the fullness of death in our place, spiritual and physical death, so that even our death would be transformed. So that we need not fear that, but that we can look forward through death, as Paul says, to live as Christ and to die as gain. For it is to go to be with Christ Jesus, which is far better. So brothers and sisters, as we do celebrate Good Friday, it is so good because on this day, we celebrate the fact that our Savior willingly gave His life to give to us full salvation. Not just judicial, that is very important, but to save us from wrath and beyond and above that, so that we have peace with God, that we rejoice in the God who was once our enemy, because we have eternal life given to us through the death of His Son. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we praise You, the Triune God, that You work together in our salvation. That indeed the Holy Spirit was giving Him the power to give His life and to suffer that sacrifice. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You went and that You suffered fully that penalty of hell, not just for one, but for all who will believe. We thank You, Father, that You have meted out that penalty upon Your well-beloved Son in our place. So, Lord, we can be reconciled to You, so that we need not fear judgment, so that we need not fear You, but that we have peace with You. How awesome, how wondrous is this day on which these events took place. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would ever live in thanksgiving and in service to You, in thanksgiving for such an awesome salvation purchased for us by Christ in our place. For we pray these things even as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.